grateful for this opportunity to be in this very holy place, Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari Temple, with all of you this evening. My special gratitude to Rajahari Prabhu, Mukunda Madhava Prabhu, Bhima Prabhu, Devaki Nandan Prabhu, and all of the leaders of this temple for so kindly opening this beautiful space for us to gather. And my special gratitude to Daru Krishna Prabhu and his family for arranging this satsang. And to all of you for dedicating your precious time to be with us. The 46th verse of the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells that all the purposes of a small pond can at once be served by a great reservoir of water. Similarly, all the purposes of all the Vedas can be perfectly served by one who understands the purpose behind them. There are many disputes between religions, among people of the same religion, among the people of the same division of the same religion, among people who are living in the same house within that same division of the same religion. And factually, there are so many things to argue about because there are so many different explanations, interpretations of such explanations. But Saragrahi Janardana, Krishna sees the essence. And one who actually has accessed the blessings of Krishna can understand the purpose behind all the teachings. In the Bible, Lord Jesus, he told people who were very much rigid and critical about people who violated the literal formal laws, but in doing so were showing superficiality and arrogance. He said, you understand the letter of the law, but you do not understand the spirit and the purpose behind it. Same words here in Bhagavad Gita. What is the purpose behind the teachings of Vedas? I remember years ago, I was a little brahmachari, now I'm a little sannyasi. But I was in a temple, a small temple, and one very highly posted leader came into the temple. And somebody bowed down to him in front of the deities. And he got so angry. He was screaming, chastising, pointing his finger. You have committed a great offense. You're not allowed, according to the scripture, you're not allowed to bow down to anyone else in front of the deity of the Lord. You have made a great offense. This is nonsense. He went on and on. I was thinking, on the same book, of the same page of the rules he was talking about, it says you're not allowed to chastise anyone in front of the deity. Now, I would probably say it now, but in those days I was a little afraid to say it. Because I knew what would happen to me. But of the two rules, one is breaking a rule to offer love and respect to someone, and one is breaking a rule to crush a person's mind and break his heart. So which is a bigger offense? What is the spirit? What is the purpose behind all these rules and regulations? Today I was with my very dear friend, A.G. Mohanji, and his good wife, Indira. Could you please stand up? I'm so grateful that they're here. They're great yogis and also incredible devotees, and it was a dream that they would come. Let us all welcome them by loudly saying, Anjali. And Sri Mohanji was saying, according to Patanjali's Yoga Sutras, that there are asana, pranayama, there's yama, there's niyama, there's pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, and ultimately samadhi. Samadhi siddhir ishvara pranidhanat. That the perfection of samadhi is to surrender to Ishvara. He was explaining, there's so many injunctions, so many instructions, so much philosophy in these Yoga Sutras. But in this section, the purpose of everything is to come to this point of samadhi, and the perfection of samadhi is to surrender to Ishvara, to the Lord. Bhakti is the process of surrendering to Ishvara. And if one simply does that, one fulfills the purpose of everything else. The whole book is served with all the instructions, all the injunctions, when we actually surrender our heart with humility before the Lord. Am I quoting you correctly? Thank you. And this is what's being said here in the Bhagavad Gita. There is tremendous dharma that is revealed in the Gita. And then Krishna tells in the culmination, sarva dharman puridyasya. Mamekam sharanam grucha, aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami vasucha. You can abandon all these varieties of dharma and just surrender to me. I will deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Until we come to that point of honest, sincere surrender, our yoga, our dharma, is still somewhat on a mechanical platform. But when we surrender, we connect to the most powerful energy or shakti in all spiritual and material worlds. It is the energy of grace, divine grace. Ananyas chintayanto mam yejana paryupashita. Krishna tells, when you just give your heart sincerely, I will preserve whatever little you have, and I will carry what you lack. When I used to live in the Himalayas, I used to study the animals, because I found that to really grasp the very core of human nature, the way it is in this world, it's very simplistically revealed in animals. Not our spiritual nature, but our material human propensities. So I would watch mongooses, fish, birds, leopards, wild boars, snakes. But one of my favorite teachers was monkeys. Because humans are so much like monkeys. You know, take away a little fur and add a little sophistication, and we're really good monkeys. But I remember the little baby monkeys. They would just hold on to their mothers, and they would get to go everywhere. As long as they just held on to their mothers, the mother would jump from one tree to a faraway tree. The baby would definitely fall and die if he tried to do it. And wherever there was food, wherever there was safety, the baby was always protected. It just held on. A power greater than its own. Seventh chapter of Gita, Krishna tells, Daivi Yeshu Gunamai Mama Mayat Ratyaya Mame Vamye Prapadyante Mayameta Tarantite. This material energy consisting of the three modes of nature, tamaguna, rajaguna, sattvaguna, is very difficult to overcome. In fact, it is impossible to overcome. Because Maya, the illusory energy, is all-powerful. But for one, Krishna says, who surrenders to me. Krishna actually says, for one who takes shelter of me. Like that little monkey to the mother. Easily cross beyond it. And in the Bhagavad Purana, it's described, the vast ocean of material existence, which is so difficult to cross over by swimming or by holding on to someone else swimming, is when we take shelter of the grace of God, it becomes reduced to the quantity of water in the small footprint or hoofprint of a calf. When we honestly and sincerely take shelter in our thoughts, our words, our actions, in our prayers, and when we take shelter in our sadhana, Krishna tells, as you approach me, I reciprocate and reveal myself accordingly. When we're doing our spiritual practice of meditation, chanting our mantras, doing our puja, studying the shastras, coming to satsang, doing seva, it's purifying in whatever way we do it, if it's sincere. But to the degree we're actually taking shelter of God, of Ishvara, through the process we access immense grace. Trinadapi sunichena taror ibasi ishnana amani namanate na kirtaniya sadahari. Lord Chaitanya explained that we can taste the sweetness of the holy name if we just live by these principles. Nama chintamani krishnas chaitanya rasvikara. That the Supreme Lord, or Krishna, is absolutely non-different than the sound vibration of the name. If you want the name just to be a sound vibration to make you feel good, it will make you feel good. And little by little, you'll understand more. But if we actually have this faith in what all the sages, the rishis, the acharyas, and the scriptures tell us, that the name of the Lord is a transcendental sound vibration. It is divine. It is beyond material existence. It purifies the heart, the name of the Lord, and reveals the inner treasure of the love that we have dormant within us. It liberates us from all suffering forever. But in order to access that power of the name, or that power of God within whatever spiritual practice we're doing, we must be humble, like a blade of grass, forgiving and tolerant, like a tree. And when Krishna spoke the Gita, trees were really big. This is before all this foresting and everything like that. All we have is these third and fourth growth trees. Trees were really good. Eager to offer respect to others and not attached or to expecting respect for oneself. If we have that type of humility, we can access that divine grace very quickly in our spiritual practice, especially as we are chanting the holy name. To the degree we have arrogance, false pride, we cannot take shelter. If that little baby monkey thinks, I could do it myself, I don't need mother anymore. My friends will all laugh at me if I'm holding on to my mother. Then the baby can't do much. But holding on to the mother, you have to be humble. That I need my mother. Taking shelter of the Lord doesn't make one weak or cowardly. It makes one incredibly powerful. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani saravasha ahamkara vimudatma kartahamiti manyate. But that power is God's power coming through us. Krishna is telling Arjuna to be without lethargy or egoism. And he's telling him to fight a war. By taking shelter of Krishna, by surrendering to Krishna like that little baby monkey, was Arjuna weak? Was he cowardly? Was he ineffective? Because he gave up his own arrogance and took shelter, he was infused with the supreme power of God. and nobody could stand before him on the battle of Kurukshetra. And our beloved Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, when he was on that boat, the Jaladuta, he was 70 years old. 38 days at sea on a cargo ship. Very primitive facilities, no medical help. While in the middle of the Arabian Sea, he had two heart attacks, seasickness, no help. As he was approaching Boston Harbor, he was looking at the skyline. 1966, India didn't have anything like that. The pollution, the skyscrapers, the buildings. He was coming from the village of Vrindavan. How am I going to execute my guru's instruction to teach pure bhakti to these people? He didn't even know if, because he had very Bengali, British type of English. He never met an American in his life, as far as I know. And he didn't know a single person in the world outside of India. Will they even understand what I say? Will anybody be waiting for me to give me a place to sleep? I have no money, I have nothing. That was his state. But he wrote a prayer. Krishna, if you give me the words, only then can I reach their hearts. Make me a puppet. Make me dance the way you want me to dance. And he ended, I have no bhakti devotion. And I have no Vedanta real knowledge. But you named me Bhakti Vedanta, one who has devotion and knowledge. So it's completely up to you, Lord Krishna, to fulfill the true meaning of my name. And then he signed off, your insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. In that type of humbly taking shelter of that supreme power that is within all of us, the power of God. Ishwara Sarva Bhutanam Hriday Shir Junatishtati. The Lord is within our hearts. He can empower. Srila Prabhupada was fearless. Bhajahure Mana Sri Nanda Nandana Abhayat Sharana Ravindare Durlabha Manava Janama Satsange Taraha Eva Vosindare. The great Govinda Das, he wrote this poem. He's praying to his own mind. My dear mind. Now all of us, whatever religious background we have, whatever color of our skin, whatever nationality, whatever sex, whether you're rich or poor or anything in between, all of us have a common experience. We know what it's like to deal with a mind. If you have this experience, please loudly say, Hari Bol.
Hari Bol!
Thank you. He's praying to his mind. My dear mind, please take shelter of the loving service of Sri Nandanandana, Lord Krishna. Abhaya Charanaravindare. When we take shelter of the feet of the Lord, the lotus feet, which means taking shelter of the service of the Lord, we become fearless. And in that fearlessness, we can endeavor with such clarity of mind because we have no arrogance clouding ourselves. And in that state, Krishna can empower us to do incredible things. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada would ask devotees to do something and they would say, "This is impossible." And Prabhupada always had the same response to that statement. He said, "Impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary." For him, nothing was impossible. It's impossible for you, and it's definitely impossible for me. But for God, nothing is impossible. Krishna can manifest the entire cosmic manifestation simply by exhaling and destroying it by going. He's created everything we see. What is impossible? He could put a gigantic banyan tree in a seed this big. And that banyan tree will have thousands and thousands of other seeds growing out of it, and each one has another banyan tree inside of it. You just give it the chance. When Krishna tells in this verse from the second chapter of Gita that all the purposes of a small pond are easily served by a great reservoir of water. Similarly, all the purposes of all the scriptures in the world, all the Vedas, are served by one who understands the purpose behind them. Vidaishcha sarvevaham eva vedyo vedanta krit veda vedeva cha. Krishna said, "I compiled the Vedas. By all the Vedas, ultimately, Ishwara, the Lord, Krishna, is to be known." But that's only possible when we take shelter. There are many processes that could mechanically make us more peaceful, stronger, more able, more healthy, but only the grace of God can lift us beyond the three modes of material nature. Only the grace of God can give us the experience of the eternal, ecstatic, divine love or prema within us. Sripad Balabhacharya of the Pushti Marg, he gave us this mantra, Sri Krishna Sharanamam. Krishna, I take shelter of you. There's a beautiful story in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita which reveals how taking shelter is to develop an attitude of service that is without selfishness or egoism. Savai pungshan paro dharmo yato bhaktir adhokshaje ahoitaki aprati hataya yatma suprasidati. The Bhagavatam tells the supreme dharma for all humanity. It's universal. It's the essence, the purpose behind all scripture is loving devotion to the Supreme Lord. But such devotion must be unmotivated and uninterrupted by any selfish consideration in order to satisfy the heart fully. Lord Chaitanya was living in Jagannath Puri. And every year, his devotees would come from Bengal, usually about 300 or 400. They would walk all the way. These days, we think it's so much trouble getting on an Indian train. Yes? Well, to be honest with you, I'm sure it was much nicer walking. But still, you have to walk several weeks from Shantipur, Navadweep, Kulinagram, Shikanda, these places, to walk all the way to Puri. Sometimes husbands, wives, children. And in those days, there wasn't all sorts of guest houses and restaurants. Shivananda Sen, one devotee with his family, made all the arrangements for everyone. And he wasn't even a very wealthy man. He would save all year to do this seva. He would arrange 2 to 3 meals every day. Now, we had our yatra crew. For those of you who came to the South Indian yatra, this year we had about 5,000 people. And brahmacharis, headed by Gauranga Prabhu, Radha Vallabha Prabhu, and so many others, they were cooking 3 meals a day for everyone. And they had to move their kitchen 3 times. Usually about 200, 300, 400 kilometers between each place. It wasn't easy, but they were happy. Actually, I saw people in the kirtan, I saw people in the classes, I saw people going to the holy places, and everyone looked very happy. But the happiest people were the people standing all day over the blazing fires, stirring massive pots, because they were tasting the sweetness of seva. But still, we had buses and trucks to carry all the pots and to carry the cooks and to get the bhoga, all the grains and the vegetables. Shivananda Sen, everything was by foot. Cooking, arranging accommodations for weeks, walking. When they arrived in Puri, oh, what a festival that was. Such anticipation to see Lord Chaitanya, to see Lord Jagannath. One of the great writers to the American Revolutionary War, Thomas Paine, he wrote that you cannot appreciate the value of something unless you struggle for it. If something is given easy, we don't really appreciate its value. So by the time they came to Puri, their anticipation, their ecstasy was so great. And this particular year, there was a boat festival at Narendra Sarovar, where the Vijay Murti of Jagannath, Govinda, is taken to this big lake called Narendra. And we have a beautiful boat that's decorated with flowers and all sorts of ornamentations. And everyone just watches Govinda floating on this boat around the lake. There's thousands, tens and thousands of people singing beautiful songs about Krishna's boat pastimes in the Jamuna, in Vrindavan, and chanting God's names, playing instruments. When we're actually in the spirit of deity worship, the spirit behind it, which is the subject of this verse we're speaking on, when you water the root of the tree, every part of the tree is happy. The leaves, the twigs, the flowers. When we give satisfaction to the Lord, if we're taking shelter, that gives us the greatest happiness. Because there's love. Just like when I was coming up the stairs today, I met some wonderful devotees, and I said some nice things to them, and they kind of smiled. And then I just kind of went like this on the head of the child, and the child smiled, and the parents were 1,000 times happier because the baby was happy than anything I tried to do for them. Now, you brahmacharis, I don't know if you know this philosophy. But those who have children, you know. Yes. Because there's love. When you love someone, if there's real love, then their happiness is much deeper fulfillment than your own happiness. In fact, their happiness is your happiness, and your happiness without their happiness isn't happiness at all. It's the nature of love. Śrīla Prabhupāda explained to us, when you feed Krishna really nice food, you become more happy seeing Krishna eating it than you eating it yourself. Of course, you get his prasad. But during our drama festival, there was a beautiful drama about one of my dear god sisters, Ladini Devi. Her life, her soul, her everything was for Jagannath, for the Lord's pleasure. I used to, every Ekadasi, myself and Barsana Maharaj and one other devotee, Ambarish, we would secretly go to where she had her little temple and we would spend the day there, just talking about Krishna. She was so happy. Her smile was none different than Jagannath's smile. Jagannath's smile never leaves his mouth, yes? No matter what happens, same smile, that was Ladini. And to cook for Jagannath, very primitive conditions. She'd go out with an axe and start cutting trees down. And then splitting the logs and starting a fire. And usually the trees in the winter were always wet. So when she started the fire, it would be 80% smoke and 20% flame. And she'd be cooking and cooking and cooking and stirring and running. And when she needed water, she would go outside and throw a bucket down a deep well and pull the rope up and get the water and pour it and do that 4, 5, 6 times. And then she'd offer it to Jagannath, whatever she made. She'd be smiling. It was always a feast. She never complained. You give her a bag of chickpeas. What do you call it here in India? Gram. What? Chana. Yes, you give her a bag of chana, chickpeas, and she'll make a 10-course feast, and everything will taste unique. just was so enthusiastic. When you're enthusiastic, God gives you incredible creativity and abilities. And she was making such incredibly wonderful food for her Jagannath Thakurji with whatever was there. And people would love to go up there just to get some. And I remember somebody, because no matter how noble you try to do things, there's always going to be someone to criticize you. That's just the nature of the material world. To not be criticized in this world is like jumping in a lake and not getting wet. You just can't do it. But if you know how to swim, you could be wet, but you could be happy. So someone was spreading these rumors that the reason she cooks so nice for Jagannath and works so hard to do it is because she is attached to eating opulent foods, because she gets all the Mahaprasad. Yes? It kind of broke her heart. Spreading this stuff around her. So what she did is she made a vow. Kind of a vow. That she would not ever taste anything she cooked. So she would be cooking all these things and giving to everyone else, but she wouldn't take it. She would take what somebody else cooked. That was always her mind. Unselfish. But she was always smiling. Because Krishna was happy. So in this beautiful boat festival, everyone was so happy because Govinda was getting so many beautiful offerings of prasad, and he was in such a wonderful boat, and there were so many thousands of people showing their love for him. And after that festival, Lord Chaitanya brought everyone into Jagannath's the next morning. Lord Chaitanya brought all of the devotees who came from Bengal with all of his closest associates in Puri to Jagannath's temple. And there's a kirtan hall called Jagat Mohan. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu divided the devotees into 7 kirtan groups. Each kirtan group had several murdangas, karatals. Each of the 7 groups had a lead dancer and a lead singer. And he inspired all the 7 groups to simultaneously be doing kirtans. Then the Lord walked from one group to another just to encourage them. And something beautiful happened. The Lord would stand in one group, and he'd go to another and another, but each group was thinking that Lord Chaitanya is only looking at us singing and dancing. He's not going to any other group. That's the nature of the love of God for his devotees. If any of us show attention to one person, somebody else may think, why that person's getting attention? Why not me? Yes, because we have a limitation of how we can extend ourselves. But Krishna, of all the infinite living beings, Lord Vishnu, so great, could make every devotee think intimately, personally, the Lord is with me. He is Rasa Bihari. He's supremely expert at enjoying and giving enjoyments in Rasa in loving relationships. So everyone was thinking, Lord Chaitanya is just with us. Then after the kirtan became very, very deep, it was the spirit of love, of prema sankirtan, was escalating to higher and higher heights as the devotees were becoming more absorbed in the chanting of the holy names. When it came to a certain state, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he turned to Swarup Damodar Goswami and asked him to sing a particular verse from an Oriyan poem. The verse that the Lord embraced within his heart at that moment. The translation is, "Let my head fall at the lotus feet of Jagannath in the kirtan hall called Jagannathan." In other words, in this kirtan, let me take shelter with all my heart of Lord Jagannath. When Swarup Damodar Goswami started singing that verse, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu raised his arms and danced. As he was dancing, all the seven groups became one in a circle around him. The ecstasy of his prema, his love, was inconceivable. Such torrents of tears were pouring from his eyes. The scripture says everyone, all the hundreds and hundreds of people there, were floating in the water coming out of his eyes. In other words, he was giving them all abhishek. They were soaking wet with the tears of the ecstatic love of the Lord. Would you have liked to have been in that kirtan? You're there right now. Because the sound vibration is transcendentally non-different than the actual historical event. According to how we take shelter of Harikatha, according to how we take shelter with faith, we can gain the exact same blessing and experience as if we are there when it historically, originally took place. Because it is Nitya Lila. We connect, we enter into that Lila according to how we take shelter. As he was dancing, his teeth were chattering. It describes his hairs stood on end like the thorns of a shimuli tree. Now, I read that since the 70s. And I always wondered, what in the world is a shimuli tree? Have any of you ever seen a shimuli tree? Raise your hands, please. Say Hari Bol very loudly. I never did either. But for 35 years, I was reading, wondering, the Lord, all the hairs on his body stood like the thorns of a shimuli tree. And last year, we have a farm in Wada, which is near Palghar, called Govardhan, and Janani Vas Prabhu, the leading pujari of Sri Mayapur Dham, and Pankajangari Prabhu. They both came because we were inaugurating our first cottage that was built there out of eco-friendly materials, where the bricks were made from the ground of our land. And we were just walking around early one morning. And Janani Vas Prabhu said, "Oh, look." I said, "Look at what?" He said, "Oh, you don't see?" I said, "I don't know what I'm supposed to see." He said, "Right there." I said, "Where?" And I was looking at, you know, some tree. It was really a strange-looking tree. You know, it didn't have too many leaves on it. It was really, by my perception, it was a really strange tree. So I said, "You know, so what?" He said, "That is a Shambhuli tree. Lord Chaitanya, when he would dance, he would become like that." And as soon as he said that, my heart erupted with enthusiasm. I said, that's it, that's a Shambhuli tree. 35 years I've been wondering, what is a Shambhuli tree? I looked it up in the dictionary. No dictionaries even have it in it. That's a Shambhuli tree. And I saw that from its root all the way to the top of the trunk and all the branches, there's these big thorns coming out. Not really sharp thorns, but they're like thorns. They're thorns. Kind of thick thorns, really heavy thorns. And I was thinking, I was picturing Lord Chaitanya's body like that. And tears came to my eyes, and I ran over and started embracing the Shambhuli tree in such enthusiasm, and all the thorns were going in my body. But it felt good. Which showed life is so much about our consciousness. When I first looked at the tree, I didn't think anything about it. But as soon as he told me that it's a Shambhuli tree, I was looking at the same tree and I was in ecstasy. As far as I know what ecstasy is about. So same thing, just with a different vision, it creates a whole different experience in life. If I fell against the tree, I would be really hurt. But when I was embracing the tree, it felt so good. Anyways, Lord Chaitanya's body was like a Shambhuli tree. Hair standing on end all around. And his limbs were trembling. And he was so choked up, he was saying, "Jaja Gaga Mama Pari. Parimu, Jaja Gaga Parimumu," which was his way of saying, "Let my head fall at the lotus feet of Jagannath in the Kirtan Hall of Jagannath." He was dancing and dancing and dancing, and everybody was around him. Then he raised his arms and he told everybody very, very loudly, "Chant Hari Hari! Hari Hari! Hari Hari!
Hari Hari!
Hari Hari!" And they were all dancing, and he was dancing, and he was inducing everyone to be dancing with such graceful enthusiasm. Now, it was early morning. From Mangal Arati, which is about 3:34 in the morning in Jagannath Temple. And now it was mid-afternoon. That means they were dancing in this kirtan intensely, ecstatically, enthusiastically, crying out the holy name. It describes the holy name was being sung with such devotion, with such faith. That everyone was floating in spiritual love. There was such love among everyone for each other because they were united by their love for God. It went on for about 8 or 9 hours. And then Nityananda Prabhu, he could see everyone was totally fatigued except Lord Chaitanya. Does that mean I should end? Is that the dinner bell or something? Anyways, they were so absorbed in Shravanam Kirtan and they were not even thinking about prasad. Lord Nityananda, he somehow or other got Swarup Damodar to slow down the kirtan and everything became very peaceful. And then the Lord came back into his external consciousness and the kirtan ended. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought everyone to the ocean where they all bathed together. Then he brought everyone to Jagannath's temple, to an area close by where there was wonderful prasad, and Sri Chaitanya enjoyed prasad with all the other devotees. And because the Lord is the Paramatma within everyone's heart, he knew exactly what everyone liked to eat. So he started serving. But his hand was so charitable, it was so magnanimous, that his hand could not hold less. One hand could not hold less than what 5 grown men or women could eat. So the devotees begged the Lord, you take prasad, no one will have before you out of etiquette, so let us serve. But then he was directing the servers, give him sak, spinach sabji, give him malpura, nice. And in this way, whatever devotees thought of in their hearts what they would like to eat, he would immediately understand and have the servers deliver it. And after they took prasad, the Lord came back to his residence, the Gambira, and laid down. Govinda was the personal assistant of Sri Chaitanya. It was his service every day for years, that after Lord Chaitanya took his meal of prasad at noon, Govinda would massage the Lord's legs and feet. Then until the Lord fell asleep, and then Govinda would take his meal. On this day, Lord Chaitanya, because he danced for about 9 or 10 hours continuously, he was laying right across the entrance of the door to his room. So Govinda couldn't get in to reach his feet. And according to the etiquette, you never step over the body or the part of a body of a respectable person. It's considered offensive to step over someone, because the body is the sacred temple in which a person lives. It's really not very nice to step over anyone, because everyone's body is a temple of God, because the Paramatma is in everyone's heart. Therefore, amanina manadena, we offer all respect to everyone, because we understand whoever they are, whatever they are, the Lord is dwelling within their heart. Vidyavanaya sampani brahmani gavihastini suni chaiva svapakecha pandita samadarshana. Real wisdom, knowledge, is to see everyone with equal vision, because we see every living being as a part of God, and God is within everyone's heart. It's from that platform that we offer respect. Then that respect and that love for every living being becomes unconditional. So what to speak of stepping over a great saint? And in this case, what to speak of stepping over with your feet the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya? Shri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahe Anya. Lord Chaitanya is Radha and Krishna in one form, according to the scripture. So Govinda said to the Lord, please roll slightly to the side so I can get in the room to massage your feet. And the Lord said, I have no strength. I cannot move. A few minutes later, Govinda said, please, just move slightly so I could get in because it's my service to massage your feet. The Lord said, I cannot move. I'm too tired. Govinda said, but it will feel really good if I massage your feet. Please let me get in. Let me get by you. And the Lord said, do it or don't do it. Whatever is in your mind, it depends. He said, do it or don't do it. It depends on your mind. Now, what does that mean? And then the Lord went to sleep. So Govinda took the Lord's outer cloth and placed it over a part of the Lord's body and then stepped over him, came to his feet and gently massaged his feet and his legs. For some time, 45 minutes passed, Lord Chaitanya woke up. He saw Govinda was still massaging him. He said, what are you doing here? He said, I'm massaging you. He said, but you always stop massaging me when I fall asleep. You've never massaged me this long. Have you taken your lunch prasad yet? And Govinda said, no. Lord Chaitanya said, why not? He said, in order to take my lunch prasad, I have to go outside. Well, why don't you go outside? Because I have to step over your body to go outside. Lord Chaitanya said, well, you stepped over my body to come inside, so why didn't you just do the same thing and step over my body to go outside and take your prasad? Govinda was completely silent. But Chaitanya Charitamrita explains what he was thinking in his mind. He was thinking, my Lord, I am prepared to commit hundreds and thousands of offenses and pay the reaction price to all those offenses to serve you and please you. But I greatly fear, and I'm never prepared to even commit the slightest fraction of an offense for my own self. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains here that Lord Chaitanya orchestrated this whole pastime just to show the world the glory of a devotee forever. This is a very fine, subtle point of etiquette. Unless one receives the grace of the Lord, one cannot understand these things. But the essence behind this instruction is what we're reading about in the Bhagavad Gita today. Atapum birdvijastreshtas varna shrama vibhagasha shvanushtatasya dharmasya samsidhir haritosha. The success of all of our actions, all of our words, all of our thoughts, whatever we may do, is samsidhir haritosha, when the Lord is pleased. In this drama of Fladini, that we saw the other day. She was in Liberia during a revolution. And she wrote me a letter. In the letter, she told me people are being beheaded, slaughtered, wholesale, everywhere on the streets. There's no value for human life. People are so demoniac, they're just killing each other. And she said a boat came with U.S. Marines to take all Americans out of there because it was so dangerous. But she stayed because she wanted to serve the people. And then she wrote, "I have no fear of these crazy people who are slaughtering others. I have no fear of demons. I have no fear of death. I only fear committing offense to a devotee." Due to circumstances, we don't have time to explain, but the leader of that revolution somehow or other became very angry with one devotee who wrote a letter to him telling him how he should change his ways. And he took all the devotees out of the temple and lined them up against the wall to kill them. But he said, I will never kill a woman. So he told Ladini and one other, "You're free, you go." Then he started shooting. There was him and several men with machine guns all around him. She jumped on him, the leader of the revolution, who had a machine gun in his hand. She jumped on him. She held his gun. She said, "You can't kill people like this. You can't do this to these devotees." He said, "Get out of my way or you will die." She could have gotten out of her way and be sitting in the satsang with us tonight. But she would rather give her life for a higher cause, because she knew she was an eternal soul. And she wouldn't let go of his gun until they shot her and killed her. And this was all witnessed by the other girl. And in the drama, it made a comparison to Jatayu. Jatayu was that bird Ravana was stealing Sita, and Sita cried down from the air, "Jatayu, please tell Ram what has happened to me. But don't try to fight him. You're too old." Jatayu was so old, he had 0% chance of defeating Ravana. But he would rather die than stand by and watch his injustice to Sita. He attacked. And he fought. And he actually was defeating Ravana through the whole fight. But then, because of his age, he got so tired, Ravana cut off his wings and cut off his legs. And Sita embraced his bloody body, crying with such gratitude before she was ripped away by Ravana. And when Ram came to that place, he placed Jatayu's head on his lap, caressed him. Ram cried and said, "Jatayu, there is no one that I love more than you. You have given your life for my devotee, for my beloved. On this very day, I send you to Vaikuntha, to the spiritual world, to attain the supreme perfection. And chanting the name of Ram, Jatayu passed away on his lap and went back to the spiritual world, and Ram and Lakshmi performed the last rites for a vulture. Yes, Ladini, she understood the spirit behind the Vedas. And why would the Lord put her through that? We may not fully understand. From a material perspective, it was ghastly. But from a spiritual perspective, just as she was worshiping Jagannath by cooking cinnamon rolls for him, in that same spirit of love and devotion, she offered her life. And the Lord showed the world for all time, not just something that happened thousands of years ago or 500 years ago, something that just happened a few years ago. It was her greatest happiness. She knew she's eternal. Let this body be to serve. It's extreme, but it's beautiful if we understand the essence. So yes, Govinda, for the service of the Lord, for the pleasure of the Lord, he was happy to do anything. But for his own selfish desires, that just didn't fit in. This was Prabhupada's spirit. This is the universal spirit of a saintly person, for all traditions, for all time. Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Balabhacharya, the Goswamis of Vrindavan, we find in all of them this spirit of selfless devotion, selfless compassion. This is the ripe fruit, the very essence. Nigamakalpaktororakalitampalam, of all spirituality, to love. Thank you very much. And now we will have kirtan for a few minutes.